Today's passage is from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Please open your Bibles. Now I'll read. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up your precious name. This week, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather here before you again, to be able to sing songs of praise to you and to worship you. Right now, it's already July, and it's quite hot. There's also guerrilla rainstorms that are coming and many areas that are suffering from the disasters of the heavy rainfall. However, Lord, we know that you are always protecting us and that you're protecting our health and that we are in your hands and we can have peace in this. Please provide us with guidance in this manner. We're about to hear a message today from Pastor Joey Anjiki. And we are very excited to hear it. Allow us, Lord, to be able to hear it sufficiently and understand it in that way as well. Allow our hearts and ears to be open to the truth. Lord, we thank you for all of the grace you bestow upon us and for the gospel as well. Allow us, Lord, to have joy in our lives daily in light of this. And please continue to bless us. With gratitude, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be hearing a word from God from the passage that was read just a moment ago. First, I'd like to talk to you about this topic, though. In 1908, there was a German writer, and this person, by the name of Faust, was signing this contract, in theory, with the devil. And in later eras, there would be this very famous painting made called Checkmate. You can see on the left side, it's the devil. And then Faust is on the right side, and he's like in his last draw because he doesn't know what to do. And he's under the control of the devil. And that's what's kind of like showing how the devil tries to control people's lives. And in those days, this type of a chessboard arrangement here would indicate it was like a checkmate state and there was nothing that the person could do to win against the devil. However, after a long time the painting was up in London, there was a person from Russia who came as a sightseer and came to see the painting. And this young man saw this painting and looked at it very carefully. And then all of a sudden he screamed out. He's like, "Faust has one more move he can make." And he found that it wasn't a checkmate state. In those days, this young man was actually a world champion at chess. He was able to find this one move that the player had against the devil. This actually kind of shows, in a sense, the stance of the gospel. Adam and Eve sinned, and since then, the sin characteristic has come into humanity, and so we are all under the control of the devil, and we're under this fate. However, God has made a one last move or one possibility for us to get out of this mess, and that's by sending Jesus Christ here to the world. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can get freed from the rule, the being under the control of the devil. Anyone who believes in the cross, Jesus' death and resurrection, and believes that it was took place for their resolution of their sin, can receive eternal life. And that is what the good news is. This good news truly is the gospel. In today's passage, it's talking about how Jesus is telling the disciples to go out around the world and spread the gospel. For a long time, we've been looking at the book of Mark, and today is the last chapter, the last part. This is part of the Great Commission, and that is to go forth and preach the gospel. We're looking at that theme today with four main points. The first point today is to go forth. Jesus gave this command to about 500 disciples, it is believed. In verse 15, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. If Jesus at this time had said, please wait, and then people who want to hear the gospel will come to you, then it would have been a lot easier to probably say something like that. However, Jesus said, go into all the world. In those days, for the disciples to go out and tell the gospel would have meant that first they were supposed to tell that to the Jews who were around them. However, it was a very difficult thing to do so. The reason why is that in those days in the Jewish society, there were leaders who just a few days prior had killed Jesus. And these leaders and people who obeyed them also were a great number. So to tell the gospel to such people was very difficult. However, amongst the Jews, there was hope, because they all knew the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there were various proclamations of Jesus, and they would be able to realize this if they really thought about it. So there was a lot of discussion about this. However, at this time, to have the disciples being told to go out and tell the Jews, it wasn't only for the Jews, but it also included the Gentiles. In those days in Roman culture, there was a lot of beliefs in a lot of gods. There wasn't really any concept of religion, because there was no concept of this one creator God. So to have the disciples go out and spread the gospel would have been quite a difficult act to do. And it would have been quite trying for them. However, the disciples did that. They went out and they did tell the gospel. As for ourselves, we can think of their situation similar to ours, because in Japan, to be able to spread the gospel here means that you're talking to people who don't have a background in the concept of Christianity, and so they have all kinds of different values. To think of a creator God and that there's only one creator God is something very difficult for people to even consider. And to be able to go out and tell people about Jesus is not something simple to do. 99% of the people in Japan are not Christian. To tell them can often mean a lot of anxiety for a person trying to do so. So why is it that in such a similar situation that these people had as we have today, were they able to actually go forth and preach the gospel? One of the reasons why is that they had a very strong conviction about the cross, and they were also very strongly believing in the universality of the gospel. They really did believe that the gospel had changed their lives, and that it was the power to change the eternal destinations of the souls of the world. As for ourselves, whether we can or cannot share the gospel often reflects on whether we understand or believe in the universality of the gospel ourselves. In the world today, this world often gives a lot of value on the concept of diversity and how we're supposed to just be accepting of anything and everything. And of course, you know, to some extent, that is really important. However, when we apply that to the concept of spreading the gospel, then something tends to happen. And that's that you have to say, well, that the gospel was good for me, but and you have to convince people that it's also good for them, but then it makes it very difficult. And because many people believe the reverse, that, well, that was, you know, Jesus is good for you, but that's just your decision, and I can believe whatever I want. When one person was thinking about this and the concept of what the gospel is, they said that the gospel is not ramen. It's like water. And the reason why is because ramen, some people like it, some people don't. And if you like it or don't like it, you know, that could be, if you do like it, you could say, well, that's good for me, but you can't press that on somebody else because they may truly have a different opinion. However, if you think about water, water is necessary for you. And you can't say that it's not necessary for someone else because everyone needs water. Water is necessary for all people to live, and it's essential. In the same way, the gospel is true. The gospel is necessary for all people to souls to be satisfied and for them to have hope for eternal life. Jesus paid a considerable price on the cross for, and it wasn't just for the people who believe in him. Jesus did this for all people. He gave his life and paid this huge sacrifice for all of humanity, and we can't forget that. I'd like to tell about one story that actually happened on December 31st, 2020, in Argentina. There was a young boy who was living there. He was the age of 9, and his name was Tzal. And on that day, it was the last day of the year, New Year's Eve, he was going outside. However, when he was outside, all of a sudden he was hit by a stray bullet. Can't believe that you in some country, just being outside, you just get hit by a bullet. But that was how bad the situation was where he lived. And he was hit and he just went down. His parents came up to him immediately and took him to a hospital. When the doctor saw him, he saw that he was slightly injured in that area, but he was able to go home in just an hour. So why is it that he was hit, even though he was hit by a bullet in his chest, he was able to go home in just an hour? It's because something protected his life. And that is a present he got from his father. It was a cross pendant. And the bullet actually hit the pendant, and that saved his life because he was protected by it. His mother said, in reflection of this, that the accident was something that most people may believe just be by chance. However, I believe that God protected my son. And it was just kind of like something out of a movie. This is something that actually Jesus has done for us. You can realize that Jesus did actually was a shield against our sin. And he was able to save us from eternal destruction by what he did for us on the cross. And there's something we need to remember, that Jesus didn't just do this for ourselves. He did it for all people. And that was the sacrifice he paid. Let's read Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So the gospel is something that you can't just say it was good for me, but maybe it doesn't apply to you. That's not what the gospel in and of itself is. It has universality in that it is necessary for all people. And when you believe in that, it does give you the ability to go forth and preach the gospel to others. Let's look at the second point. Who are we supposed to tell the gospel to? Some people say to go forth and spread the gospel kind of infers that you have to go to people that you don't even know, so it's kind of like outreach work. You have to go to like the countryside and hand out tracts or go to sing the gospel in front of train stations or something. Or form a mission team and go overseas for a short-term mission trip. However, to go into all of the world, the place that you're supposed to go to isn't necessarily somewhere you don't know or to talk to people you don't know. It could be your family or friends who are quite near to you. And in many circumstances, God uses you to reach those people, your family members and your friends. In Japan, many people do hear the gospel. And how is it that they do so? How is it that you yourself heard the gospel? In many cases, they were invited by their friends or families to go to church, and that's how they believed in Christ. Why is it in Japan that there are many cases where people believe in Christ by hearing about it from somebody who is near to them? It may be because of part of the Japanese culture, because many people have a trust, trust, of course, in Jesus, but it's also important in the relationship with the person they had in order to believe about Christ. So it's important, truly, to reach out to the people who are closest to you. And it also can be the reverse, though. People who are the closest to you, it's difficult to reach them. Because people who are far from you, it's easy to show yourself as show good points about yourself. But people near to you will know that, you know, you're not a perfect person and you have all kinds of weaknesses as well. The people around you, if they say to you, for example, "Are you really a Christian?" Wouldn't that be kind of scary if non-believers asked you that? There was once a time where there was a mother who was a Christian, and it was her daughter who, in light of that, came to go to the church and learned about the gospel and so on. So when she was asked to if she wanted to believe in Christ, she responded by saying, "When I see my mom, I don't have any confidence to want to be a Christian." So what would you think it would happen next after saying that? She's like, "If someone like my mom is a Christian, I don't want to be one." And you would think that something like that would continue. However, but she said after that, "Because my mom is so wonderful, I can't become a Christian." So it was the opposite, where her mom wasn't a mess, but rather her mom was so good at everything, the daughter realized she just didn't have the confidence to be able to become such a good example. However, that girl is now a Christian. If the case is that people around you are saying, "I do want to be a Christian because I want to be like you," that would be something you'd be really excited about, wouldn't it? Even if that isn't the case, though, please be relieved, because you don't even have to worry about sharing your weaknesses. You don't have to be fake in front of other people. Because when you think about what it is to be a testimony, you can realize that in many cases, that means that showing your weaknesses actually is your testimony. In Kansai, there was a family once where only the mother was a Christian. And there was a time where the son said to the mom, and he said to her, "Are you seriously a Christian?" Like, she was such a mess. And she started crying. And she replied to her son saying, "It's because I'm such a mess, that's why I need Jesus." And that really hit the heart of her son. He's like, "Oh, she really believes in Jesus. She really has the intention to follow him. And she realizes her need for a savior." That guy is actually a pastor now. So to be a testimony is really an important concept. For many people, they think that their friend or their family is like a Christian, and they don't want to become that or believe they can't, and so they think they can't be Christian. However, if they have a more realistic picture of what it means to be a Christian, then it's likely it would be easier for them to truly believe. Amongst you here today, it's likely that your friends and family have come to know Christ through the outreach or the works of other people near to them speaking into their lives. Even if you are imperfect, which we all are, you can use that to help show and be a testimony of the need for Jesus. And you can, for example, even the story I just said about the mom who was crying to her son explaining her need for Christ, that alone can be testimony. In the New Testament, most of it is written by Paul. And there's something he says repeatedly. He says, please be like me. Please become like me. And Paul wasn't saying that because he was thought he was perfect and he wanted everybody else to be like him. That's not the case. What Paul was saying was that as he himself loved Jesus and followed Jesus, he wanted other people to have that same desire. In those days, people did realize that Paul had many faults, and they could see, though, that he was very passionate about Jesus to the extent of willing to risk his life. If we try to be a living testimony, we don't have to worry about trying to hide all of our weaknesses and faults, but rather just focus on our true desire to follow Jesus regardless. Let's look at the third point. To realize that the responsibility is in your hands. Looking back at verse 16, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This does not state that you like must be baptized in order to be saved. In those days, to believe and then be baptized was something that was just kind of like the norm. In other words, what they're trying to say here is that anyone who believes will be saved, and in this way they would naturally want to be baptized. There's no other way to salvation other than Jesus. There, and God has made that clear that there is only one way. Jesus himself said that unless someone comes to the Father through me, they can't get to him. In other words, there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Around us and around you here today, there are likely people who can only be reached just by us. We need to remember that this only way to heaven through the gospel is something that we have been told to proclaim to others. For souls that are headed toward destruction, what kind of thoughts do you have about this? As for me as a Christian, to think about people heading for destruction and to realize that Jesus is available to everyone, I receive and strengthened conviction to be able to share the gospel in this way. This church has sent out a number of missionaries to the world. For example, the Soma Yabe family, Shibasawa family, Takayama family, and Ishimoto-san as well. Why is it that these people have been able to go overseas to share the gospel? It's because at one point they really realized their calling to go and share the gospel around the world. And in this way, they have gone to other countries. And there's also other mission organizations that states are making a goal to get the percentage of Christians increased from 1 to 5. And here's Faith in the sanctuary, and Janet is translating today. Why is it that they are in Japan? Why do you think they just love teaching English? Is that why they're here? They love Japanese culture and they just want to stay here because of the culture? And they just want to just teach English so they can get some money to have their livelihood? That's not the truth. They really care about Japanese people's salvation. There was one time when they really realized about this. They really felt in their hearts the need to share the gospel with Japanese people who are headed for destruction. That's why they came here to this church and are working to really live out their lives to share the gospel with others. And this is something I'm extremely thankful for. The EFL program is about to have an English day camp here, and this is an opportunity for people all over the community and many children to come, over 100 who have never heard the gospel before. And I really encourage you to pray for this camp. There's something that I don't want you to forget, and that's how what's mentioned in 16, if you believe, you'll be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is something that we need to remember. We are given the privilege and the calling to all reach out to unsaved people. Let's look at the fourth point today. And that's God is with you and will provide your needs. For those who believe, it states that these signs will be accompanied. There's five of them here. In other words, it says that they will be able to drive out demons, they will speak in tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and then when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them, and they can place their hands on sick people and they will get well. If you look at the book of Acts, these four of these five are mentioned there. The fourth one, for example, the fourth one, drinking the deadly poison, actually isn't mentioned in Acts, but in the history of the church, it's actually mentioned that this did actually take place. In history, along with the gospel, God has really made the gospel go forth. And today as well, in much mission work, you can see God is at work. Takada Shibusawa is a missionary who is currently working here at the church and will go out into the mission field again. In the past, though, he was in Tanzania, and he actually reported at one time that in that area, many people experienced believing in Jesus Christ by getting demons driven out of them and so on. When I went to a poor area in India many years ago, I asked people, why did they believe in Jesus? And they said, actually, through healing and so on, they actually came to faith in Christ. You can see that in developing countries and in many cases, getting demons out of people and healing them actually leads them to faith. Why is it that such things lead them to Christ and allow them to see God's work? It's likely that in that area, those areas, there's a lot of magic that's actually going on. And because they're poor, they can't go to the hospital. And so they truly do call out to God for healing because God is their only option. In Japan as well, God is doing all kinds of works and spreading the gospel here. There was something that once happened. This woman was really into spiritual things, and like every weekend, she would go to all these different like power spots and things, and in addition, she decided to start learning about the Bible. So she did. And at first, she had no desire to believe in any one religion. She had and said very clearly she was not interested in being Christian. However, in doing so, she read about the salvation that's offered through Jesus Christ. And when she heard this, all of a sudden her thinking changed, her spiritual way of thinking changed. And she realized Jesus Christ truly is the one and only God. She realized that nothing other than Christ was needed in her life, and she let go of everything and decided to follow Jesus Christ. That huge change in how her spiritual eyes were opened is evidence of how God was truly working in her life and how she was saved from this evil path she was headed on. When God speaks to us, He uses all kinds of works and ways to be able to get through to us. And that's something we can learn and remember from today's passage as well. Today we've looked at the situation in of the Great Commission and how the 500 disciples in that area decided to truly follow Christ and go around the world. Even though they were under persecution, they continued to spread the gospel. And after the 300 years in the Roman Empire, it was filled with Christians. Because of these people, the Great Commission has actually spread even further to where what is today. And we are now living in a world where the gospel has truly gone around the world. The gospel is something that is in our hands, and we have the responsibility to share it with others. If you look at the Japanese society and the present state of the people, you can see that this truly is an era where people need the gospel. Morality is falling apart and all kinds of terrible things are happening. Many people's hearts are just dried. Why is it that we need to share the gospel? It's because we believe in the power of it. We know that Jesus Christ's love for us allows us to be encouraged and healed and strengthened and for the various difficulties we face. Even if we have human relationships that are broken in our lives, we know that He can provide the answer and hope for future, the future of heaven. And this way is how we believe. We believe in the power of the gospel. And that's what enables us to go forth into the world. We know that as our lives have been changed by the gospel, the lives of our families and our friends can be changed as well. Today, the 500 disciples we've talked about were people that you may think didn't have anything. They didn't have money or financial status or power or authority. But they had really everything. They had faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look once again at verse 20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed His word by the signs that accompanied it. Just as this mentioned, I pray that this will happen, and I believe it will happen in Japan as we go out into the various places we can in our lives to share the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to be able to worship You. Today we've looked at the Great Commission. At the same time, we've also looked at the disciples. And when they were told to do this, how they actually did follow through with it. We can see how they were persecuted and how the Gentiles, even without a basis of the Christianity, still were able to believe. It's likely they were anxious, though, to share the gospel with others. They were able to do so. And it's because they believe in the universality of the gospel. It's the same for us, Lord. In this society we're living that wants to recognize all kinds of diversity, we need to realize that the gospel isn't something where it's just good for me, maybe not good for someone else. It's actually necessary for all people because it is universal. In this way, allow us, Lord, to have the confidence to share this truth with others, so that their hearts that are tried may be filled with Your truth. the gospel has power. And when people come across Jesus' love, we know that they can be healed and strengthened, and that their broken human relationships can be repaired. They can have hope and be released from fear, knowing that they have hope for heaven. We believe in the power of the gospel. We ask, Lord, that this week in the various place you have us all placed, that you would be using us in an amazing way. Allow us as testimonies, Lord, to reach others. And it isn't that we need to be perfect to others. We can actually use our faults and weaknesses to be examples to others of people, how they too are broken and need a Savior. Lord, we ask that this coming week we can go forth in joy. Please guide us in this way. We pray this in Jesus' name with gratitude. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please let me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you in this new coming week and forevermore. Amen. Today we'll have